And it's so coincidental and so nice that we have students from Youth Enrichment Services here today as well as part of their leadership team. And why don't we start with our students? I'm going to let you all please introduce yourself. And if you have any shout outs, this is the perfect time.
My name is Samaya Smith, and I go to SciTech Academy, and I'm in 11th grade.
And anybody you want to acknowledge or say hello to? You might not. I just want to be sure I give you a chance.
My teacher, Ms. Lozera at SciTech.
Excellent.
I'll give her a shout out.
What does she teach?
She teaches any math class, so algebra, geometry, and what's the other one? Pre-calc.
Yeah, I was gonna. You're finishing up 11th grade. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're taking now? Pre-calc.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking pre-calc.
How's it going?
It's going. You know, I learned a lot from there, and when I actually like get it, like it's pretty easy.
It takes the light to kind of pop on,
yeah.
Doesn't it? Once you get it. You get it. Are you getting into things like limits and or you're doing integration, I'm sure, that kind of stuff?
We're on like angles and like just figuring out
like you might have to figure out what an angle is based on what other angles are.
Yeah, we know what an angle is. Yeah. It's just more of an advanced part of that. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
No, you're explaining it perfect, and that's not what you're here to talk about. I was just curious. Eugene, I hope you're still willing to talk. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Eugene Shelton. I am in 10th grade. I'm 16, and I also go to SciTech.
And any hellos or acknowledgments you'd like to make?
I'd like to say hello to Ms. Diaz, because she's the GOAT.
And what does she teach?
She teaches my environmental science class.
Oh, what are you learning in that class lately? I'm just curious because actually both math and environmental science are things I love.
Well, right now we're learning about, about like waste runoff, for example, waste that comes like from like the top of Pittsburgh, it flows down to like Greensburg and Hazelwood. So recently we had actually went out to Hazelwood and did some trash cleaning. So we can prevent that runoff, because if it gets into the pipes, it can like cause blockages and like all the sewage will come up and like cause flooding, and that's just like terrible and like it's horrible.
I'm glad. You're learning about that. Runoff is a big problem, and in an older city like Pittsburgh, runoff can get into our sewage system and overload it, and, that's not a good thing when that happens. Thank you. We'll talk about programming in a minute, but let me turn to Denise Jones, Deputy Director of Youth Enrichment Services. I know you all just had a presentation Thursday night. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, or maybe Youth Enrichment Services in general, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good morning, and thank you for having us. I'm Denise Jones, as you mentioned, the Deputy Director at Youth Enrichment Services, and I did have the pleasure of connecting with young people this week at our Youth Civic Leadership Academy, both with our scholars and our vets, and I was so impressed with the work that the young people were doing. They truly were phenomenal in terms of their ideation around their project topics and then the actual implementation as they were engaging with stakeholders and being able to speak confidently about their work and feel really passionate about the things that they were exploring. I got a chance to hear podcasts from our vets and then also to see really the unique research experiences that students were investigating this YCLA term. But Youth Enrichment Services, in a broader landscape, is a nonprofit organization providing young people opportunities and access to experiences like civic education, employment experiences, thinking about mentoring. We also work with some of our local schools, providing resources and opportunities within those contexts. So we have a broad footprint, but we're excited about the young people here today to focus specifically on our civic related programming.
Now, for people that don't know about what led up to the event, which was held at the Heinz History Center just this past Thursday, can you give us a sense of what you did to get to this point? And then after that, we can talk a little bit about what actually happened Thursday. Do you want to give it a start, Tamaya?
So basically for the vets, we made a podcast and we were on episode 2. And from the start to the end of it, we've gathered information about a certain topic called generational trauma. And we did our research. We interviewed 3 people and we just basically gathered information. We had our parts and we just combined all together and to make one whole episode. And there's another group, which is ICE. And do you want to explain what your group did?
Yeah, I was a part of ICE. We had done something quite similar to them. We interviewed people. We interviewed Zone 5 Commander Hoyson. We also interviewed a lot of people like just out in the street, so we can, you know, get other people's perspective and not just, you know, have our own bias. We did a lot of research. And you know, the hardest part was probably the recording and editing, but all of our both of our topics, they all like tie into the biggest theme, which is displacement and racism.
Now, when in your work also involved generational trauma?
My group specifically, we were covering ICE.
Okay, when you said ICE, I assumed, I didn't want to assume that you meant ICE, as it's known, you know, the ICE program, immigration enforcement. So two very significant topics that you both ended up covering. And I don't know where to start, but I really want to know more about what you learned. Tamaya, can you talk a bit about new thing? I mean, I'm assuming you knew a little bit about generational trauma at the beginning of this program, but I suspect your knowledge really increased as a result.
Yeah. While doing the research, we've gathered that, like, overall, it's more of a systematic thing. Like, it's actually, like, it's been here. Like, generational trauma's been here. And it's more of, it gradually got, like, worse in ways where there's certain communities that are targeted, which is POCI, which, like, you know, redlining and food deserts, like that's generational trauma. Like, it's just a lack of resources given to communities like that. Like, they're not able to get like certain produce that will last, and it's hard for people in those communities to get to that place, like a Giant Eagle or just like a grocery store with like fruits and vegetables. Like, it's hard for them. So it's easier for them to go to a convenience store or a corner store to get, like, just snacks and drinks that are not healthy for them. But it's more on those bases where, and redlining, I don't know a whole bunch, but what I can say is when certain companies don't want to open up in certain places because they're afraid of what the community will do to that place. So they're saying it's risky to open up right there, which I feel like isn't the case. Like, I feel like there would be more business if, like, certain things like Giant Eagle, Walmart, or Family Dollars were opened up in those certain communities.
You really expressed that well, and I think a lot of people generally conclude, you know, this expression, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps or work your way out of poverty. Mm-hmm. That simply, in the majority of cases, is not possible because of the resources your parents had, their parents had, and you end up having. Are you looking at solutions to break the cycle?
Well, we interviewed the head of Heinz History Center, which is Sam Black, and he was talking about how education is the key to solving, could be the key to solving generational trauma, which we didn't fully agree with just because, like, POC is, the system isn't built for them. Like, even if they got education, like, certain places like Homewood and, like, just, like, schools like that, like, Westinghouse, like, they don't have those resources to get there. Like, I feel like when in those certain places, the education is lower, like, the resources are lower. Like, they don't have the advantage as other places, like, I would say Brochure or just, like,
Higher income.
Higher income neighborhoods and schools, like, those don't match. And I feel like that's why I think education isn't always the key to solving, what I said, generational trauma.
Do you have any thoughts about that, Eugene?
That was great. She kind of took all the words out of my mouth because...
No, it's interesting. When you said education, the first thing I thought about was it's not people of color that need to be educated. It's folks outside of that system mm-hmm. that need to understand so they can be good advocates. Because I think a lot of folks don't understand I've been to the Giant Eagle here on the north side, and I've been to the Giant Eagle 5 miles away in the North Hills. They are very different stores, mm-hmm. And I want to be careful. I'm certainly not trying to call them out or anything, but they are very different experiences. And why? You know, it's so did you propose anything? Or did you present at the Leadership Academy this past Thursday your findings and mm-hmm. some suggestions about what to do?
Well, we made a 20-minute podcast, and we had people listen to our podcast. And I feel like there's many ways to solve that problem, but I feel like we don't have just a 100% like way to solve that. So I feel like when other people listen to what we've gathered, they could give us ideas on how to solve it. Or they, like, just, like, gathering all the information from other opinions outside people, like, and getting connections so we could all come together and maybe we could realize what the problem is and how to solve it.
Yeah, I should say, too, that while I think you will play a huge role in solving the problem, I don't think it's yours alone to mm-hmm. solve. I think the generations ahead of you, including mine, need to understand and join you and support you in solving the problem, as opposed to saying, here it is, you deal with it,
yeah.
Which some folks think about. We'll talk about where you can find that podcast shortly, but I'd love to hear more about your work, Eugene. You were interviewing citizens about the impact ICE has had on them.
Not just on them, but like just what they've seen. Overall, we wanted to, you know, like shine light on what ICE is doing in Pittsburgh, because we aren't as, you know, as big on the headlines nationally as, you know, places like Minnesota or some places in Texas. But ICE is still in Pittsburgh. And we wanted to, you know, you know, let people know that, and you know, the dangers that it has, like on us, on our schools, on our civilians, and we also wanted to, you know, have some input from, you know, other types of law enforcement. So that's why we interviewed Commander Hoyson, which is Zone 5 commander.
Yeah, Zone 5 is here on the north side. What did he have to say about? I would imagine a uniformed police officer that's worked very hard to develop good community relations is incensed at the idea that you would have people without uniforms or badges doing enforcement. Did he talk about that at all?
He talked about it a little bit, but he didn't go into too much detail. A thing that we definitely took away from it, he made like a little comparison, like a semi comparison, between like how police, like the Pittsburgh police, you know, go about things, and how ICE does, and like probably the biggest thing, was, you know, police can't, you know, pull you over and ask you like immigration questions, like if you're like documented or not, like unless it's really, really specific to a crime, they will not ask you. They're not allowed to ask you about that. Only deputized officers are allowed to make, you know, are like allowed to ask those questions or make arrests because of if you're documented or not.
I just want to be careful as I ask you this question. You both, I'm sure, have peers who might be from other countries or have parents from other countries who are probably worried or quite affected by what they see happening. Is that true?
Yes.
And can you... I kind of want to give them a voice, even though they're not here. What are some of the things they tell you or that they're concerned about?
See, what I can say is my friend, he's worried about, like, his parents being unsafe rather than him because just, like, certain stuff his parents doesn't have that he does have, he's just afraid that his parents will get confronted by ICE.
Yeah, there's a vulnerability there. And talk about generational issues.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend, is experiencing trauma as a result. I mean, there's other forms of trauma that are coming mm-hmm. into effect too. But just having this concern that his parents may have an issue with stability mm-hmm. that is not due to anything they've done. Have you talked with high school students that also had this kind of concern, Eugene?
Some of my friends actually have this kind of concern. Some of my friends are actually immigrants from places like Mexico, and you know have escaped to come to America because, you know, safer place, especially right now what's going on in Mexico. But yeah, they came here, and of course they're worried about ICE because, you know, they're primarily targeting, you know, Latino people and people like that just because, you know, they look Latino and they look like, well, what they would call illegal.
And I wanted to bring this up because, as you pointed out, talking about Minnesota, Texas, there are probably people thinking this isn't happening here. It is. And I do encounter youth that we work with that have shared the same kinds of concerns that both of you did. Melinda, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I would say that as you can see, the students are really knowledgeable about the topics that they have been able to investigate over the semester, and I think this is what this kind of context allows for, like allowing the students to identify topics that they really are passionate about and leveraging different mechanisms to help them kind of investigate these topics and to feel so confident to kind of really describe what they were experiencing and seeing and recognizing there's this kind of personal element to the things that they're exploring as well. So I think this is the value of the kind of civic, you know, hands-on civic learning that the students have exposure to, and they're really leading that. And so, you know, at YES, we're proud of the work that they've done. These two students have both been with us for several iterations of YCLA, and so it's great to see you all evolve and continue to push your thinking forward and to stay curious and to stay hungry for learning. And I think that's what they're embodying this morning.
Will both of you stay involved with this program in the year to come?
Oh, will it? Will
yeah, no, the two of you, are you going to keep staying involved?
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah, it's fun.
I figured. I just wanted to be sure. It's great. Tamaya, you're in 11th grade. Eugene, finishing up 10th grade. So you have time to give. Youthenrichmentservices.org is the website. Are the podcasts up for people to hear yet?
I'm not sure. Do you know if Eric mentioned? I know that we typically archive our projects like once the semester's ending, but given that the students just finished, I know there was a race to kind of get things polished.
They were just finished.
Yeah. So they'll probably go up in the next couple of weeks. Did you all hear from Eric anything different about that?
No, we don't have any platforms where we've posted our podcast, but we would love to post them any way we can.
We can help you with that. Yes, we can.
Yeah, that's great.
You can use our youthexpress.org platform, which will put you alongside of a lot of other youth working to bring awareness to issues and solve them. We love working with all the Dr. Joneses at Youth Enrichment Services, so we'd be happy to help you. Anybody have anything else you'd like to say as we finish up?
YCLA and, you know, just YES in general. I've been with YES for, well, since 2024. It's a really, really great experience. I never had a day where I've just said, man, I hate YES, man. I never had a day where I've ever even thought about that. It's like a really good experience, a really good learning experience. I've learned so much. I've grown so much because of them. And just want to say thank you.
Yeah, same. Like, I've doing all this research and gathering all this information has made me more confident in speaking out about certain things. And, like, before YES, like, I didn't know anything about, like, what's going on in Pittsburgh, especially Pittsburgh. But putting that into account, I really do love YES, and I do love YCLA, and I do want to join the Vets again and do Learn and Earn, too, with them. So I really thank you for the opportunities that they gave me. Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't get a chance to work with these students as closely, but I know my colleagues are working very closely with them, and they have nothing but positive things to say. I remember when Eugene started our program, I was like, oh, gosh, he's grown so much. He's evolved into a wonderful young man, so I'm just really proud of you. And to why I know that Miss Melinda and other folks can't have good enough things to say about you. So these are both shining stars at YES and really embody the ethos that we carry. So thank you all as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving up a Saturday to be here with us live,
no
too.
No problem.
Of course.
Broadcasting live with Youth Enrichment Services.